Morning, Nick. How are you doing?
Good morning, Martin. I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Excellent, thanks. Yeah, not bad at all. Awesome. So I expected this morning to see you clean shaven. I've heard a rumour that some sort of update is being launched at the moment by Google.
Root, yes. Apparently, well, we noticed some ranking improvements over the weekend on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Today's Thursday. But only small ones.
Right.
And so we were kind of wondering what was going on. And then someone put a tweet out last night saying that Google had confirmed it, although there was no link to any kind of tweet from anyone from Google, which people usually do on the websites like SEO Roundtable and so on. But yeah, apparently Panda is slowly rolling out.
Right, okay.
So the only issue is, usually they do it over a weekend.
Yeah.
So you see massive changes and you kind of know what's happened. But apparently this is taking months, or could take months, to roll out.
Weird.
So I don't know whether it's just because they've got so much data they've collected over the last 10 months since any kind of update. But usually, I mean, previous time it was a 12-month collection of data, I think, before rolling out. So.
Right. Wow.
So I think I'm going to trim my beard.
Trim it in honour.
As the rollout has started. And then perhaps once it's finished, then it'll be a clean shave. So the razor, like the electric razor with like the trimmer bit on the top, is actually on charge as we speak. So as soon as we finish this, I'm going upstairs and razoring it off.
You should do it in sections rather than... just try.
Well, everyone's been sending me pictures through a Tom Selleck and stuff like that. And
yeah. So you could go for a goatee and then, the Tom Selleck.
Maybe not.
So
but it's not just VoucherCodes Pro, or some other websites that I've got analytics access to that have helped over different times and stuff. I've seen changes in their rankings up and down, right. So and more search traffic coming their way. So something is definitely bubbling away and changing.
So when you say they're getting more search traffic, is that, do you know that they've sort of done the right things in terms of thin content and that sort of stuff?
One hasn't.
Right.
And this one I'm actually expecting to get a penalty because they haven't really done anything that was suggested even like up to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But they've actually had an improvement. But sometimes Google, I think previously with Panda and maybe Penguin penalties, they release all the sites that have been under penalty and then run the algorithm again.
Okay.
So it's kind of like everything gets let out, then they run their update and they work out then whether a site should still be under penalty or not. So, so if you do see a huge increase, don't start celebrating yet, because you might get caught up in the actual update or new update itself.
It must be terrifying, you know. I know your VoucherCodes stuff is kind of based a lot on Google, but it must be awful just trying to wait and not knowing what's going to happen. You wake up one morning and you just could be in the mess, you know.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you've done the right things in terms of making the site fit the guidelines, but for those people that haven't, maybe it must be awful.
Well, I mean, this, you know, from listening to the podcast, everyone who listens probably knows that all I talk about mostly is SEO stuff, and the VoucherCodes Pro, VoucherCodes sector and affiliate marketing sector is just 99% SEO stuff.
Yeah,
and so I think everyone in this sector kind of knows what the deal is. Mm-hmm. And knows the game they're playing. And
so
they,
I guess, either, if you're not updating things, then you deserve really to...
Well, people are either going for the short-term hit and know their site will get burnt eventually, and then they'll start another one up, or there are the more established brands who've been going for a number of years who try to do things the right way and either accidentally fall foul or every now and again knowingly cross the line but see if they can get away with it type thing. But yeah, it is difficult because we have no other route to market, really. We can't do AdWords on a large scale. SEO and appearing as far high as we can in natural search rankings is the main route.
Well, I hope it works out.
Yes, fingers crossed. Keep an eye on Twitter. I'll update people with pictures of the beard and the shaving as it goes on.
I've been watching out for it, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, actually, I got my passport photos done the other day.
Oh, right.
And so I've got a passport photo of a big, like, well, I don't know, 2 months' worth of beard. And now I'm going to shave it off today or trim it down. So
That's funny. That's weird, actually. So how do they... you must look quite different with and without. Well, I know you do. Quite different with that beard.
They've got... I did a little bit of research last time we were working together in Regis' office.
Yeah.
And there is a thing about your fringe, on your hair. So you can't have your fringe coming down. Like, I did a Google search.
Yeah.
And some people, women were commenting that their passport photo was rejected because their fringe came down too far and so on. But apparently beards and moustaches on men are okay. Although
it's weird, isn't it?
Shave it off at any time.
There must be something about, like, the eyes and stuff. That's I mean, I know you can recognise people from their eyes quite clearly. So yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Strange.
Which comes on to, well, funny enough, well, we need to talk about this later, but booking flights and stuff for Microcon.
Yes.
Because I haven't got an up-to-date passport at the moment, so I'm not sure if I can book a date without an up-to-date passport.
Yeah.
I know you need the passport to check in, don't you? But I'm not sure if you can book one.
You can book, because I've booked without putting any passport details in.
Right.
But you do need to put your passport details in before you fly.
So yeah.
Part of the check-in.
Yeah, that's right. I should be able to book it. Yeah. Cool. We've fell foul with the hotel a bit, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah.
So we should explain to everyone, this is Microconf
Europe.
Barcelona.
Yeah, in Barcelona.
Which is September or October,
it's it's basically the last weekend in August is the weekend before it starts. It starts on the Monday. So I think the Monday is the 31st of August. Oh, and it's Christ. The Monday and Tuesday.
It's quite soon.
Yeah, it's not far away.
My ass into gear.
Yeah, just over a month and a half. Yeah, well, I've decided, so in trying to get a brownie pass off my wife Silvana, we sort of had a chat about it and we decided to go a bit earlier. So we're going, me, Silvana and Lois, we're going on the Thursday before for a few days together in Barcelona. So I booked all the flights to go out there and all that, and I booked them to come back on the Sunday, but obviously I'm staying till the Wednesday. I haven't booked the Wednesday flight yet, so I'll have to do that. But yeah, I went online this week to actually book the hotel, because I've been distracted because I've been sorting out the holiday just for us, sort of thing. And the hotel's sold out.
Right.
So, yeah, going to have to do a bit of research now on where to stay. Could do an Airbnb.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Or we could get a place like a big place together or something.
Yeah.
There's lots of hotels in Barcelona.
There's loads, loads.
And Microsoft have big conferences there that I've been to, so they do have quite a selection of hotels.
Yeah, it'll be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah. Hey, so what have you been up to anyway?
Well, it's been busy. The freelance project I'd won... started proper, and so that's been pretty much full on, really. Started with a big workshop to launch it. They're trying to do it in a sort of agile style. There's a new directive within the company to do everything agile, and we had this big workshop for a day with business stakeholders there, IT people, me, you know, everybody there, and it was really good, actually. It was good to get that going, and there's quite a lot of input from everybody and engagement, and everybody was keen, and you know, suggestions and things coming out. And then we did like the sprint planning, so we've got week-long sprints. It's only a 5-week project, which seems a bit, you know, it's quite a small project to do this way, but that's the way it's kind of a trial, I think, as much as anything. So we did that, and everyone's saying, yeah, great, we'll have these scrum meetings and all sorts, and nobody really turns up to the scrum meetings. So you get the core people of the team, but the sort of business people and so on, I guess they're busy, you know, they've got things to do, and so they just want the solution. They don't really want to be involved in the process of getting there, they just want it. So there's a bit of a difficulty there in getting people on board, but it's going well in terms of the work I've got to do. It's fine, no problem. It's going well. It's just taking a lot of time, which means lots of evenings being working on the other stuff. So that's pretty good as well. I had I think the last podcast I was about to go for a meeting with one of them who wanted lots of work on the website done, as well as the booking and CRM stuff. And I presented to them and all that. I got some designs done, and I presented a couple of designs, got them printed out on A3 cards so they look quite nice and all the rest of it. And that went well, and they've decided to use me to do that. So
excellent.
It's really good. So that's effectively the first customer for my product.
Yep.
It won't probably be launched until September, I wouldn't have thought what they want to do. But yeah, so it's a first customer.
Excellent.
Ticking the box, which is cool. And then I tried to chase down one of the other most interested parties who's been pestering me for the solution. And I was hopefully going to get him sort of signed up before this podcast, but it turns out he's on holiday for 2 weeks. So the person I need to speak to isn't around, so I'm going to have to wait for a couple of weeks. But I'm 99% sure they'll sign up for it, because he's been asking me for it. So yeah, so hopefully by the next podcast, I'll have two customers, which isn't going to, you know, fill the...
So what's that monthly recurring revenue going to be then?
It's going to be something like 150 quid a month.
That's good.
So it's not bad, but it's not...
What was your goal at the start of the year?
£2,000. I think that's going to be a bit...
Well, you never know, though.
A bit off, but... Yeah, I mean, the big thing is now, what I've been doing is, since I've won this definite customer, I brought on another developer
right
to work on it.
Yeah.
Because I need to get the core sort of functionality for them done, so that I'm happy with it before we get that. And there's bound to be some changes once they start to use it. So yeah, so I've got another developer working on it as well, which is a bit scary when you start to see the sort of hours rack up, meaning the amount of money you have to pay out rack up, and it's going to take a while to pay that back. But you know, I've got this freelance project now, and so it's covering itself, I think, hopefully. So we should be okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, once this freelance project's over and the holiday season's over, I'm going to have to really start knuckling down on marketing and getting more people in to sign up. And I think it's going to be, to start off with at least, face-to-face meetings as much as possible to try and get a few people on, get a few testimonials, and then might, you know, try and push the online side. Yeah. So
very good.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's quite good fun. But a bit scary as well when you realise how much you're paying out for people to develop the software, and then 150 quid's going to be coming in per month. It's going to take a lot of that to pay off the developer bills. But you know, SaaS takes a long time, so
slow ramp of death.
Exactly, exactly.
Sorry, the slow ramp of
rampant success.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's been going really well, and I'm pretty happy with it. So how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, lots of different updates, really, I guess. The first one, we've been struggling with Sophie and Isabel's had chicken pox.
Oh, no.
This week. So the childminder's daughter that Isabel goes to one day a week had chicken pox, and Sophie's quite keen for Isabel to get it.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
She wasn't worried about the both of them mixing together and playing together still, so we knew it was coming, probably.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake on Monday of saying to a friend, Isabel had been coping really well with it, and she had been. She'd been like, apart from like the physical signs of spots and stuff, there was no scratching, and she was like as happy as anything and laughing and joking around each day. But then on Monday, I think she got them on her throat and in her mouth,
and
that affected her eating, and she was getting sick and stuff like that, unfortunately. So the past couple of days have been, she's been a lot less lively. But I think she's turned a corner today, so that's good.
She seemed happy when I saw her.
Yeah. So that's a big improvement on what she did yesterday. She was like just lethargic and sitting on the sofa and just wanting to watch TV and falling asleep watching TV and stuff. So yeah, it's a big improvement today, so that's good. But in terms of work, I've been looking at side projects again.
More side projects. Excellent.
Because there's only so much I've been able to do again on Batch Codes Pro while waiting for Google Panda updates and so on.
Yeah.
And this goes together with something else. So I was in the bookshop the other day and I saw a book on CSS3.
Oh yeah.
And so I decided all the technologies, well, the user interface technologies, I guess even HTML, going on to HTML5, JavaScript and CSS, I've done them.
Yeah.
But it's been more of a hacking type methodology. Google the solution from Stack Overflow and copy and paste and so on. So I saw this book, and it was, I guess the problem that I've always had before was with CSS and stuff like that. I've looked at books before, but I've always been really beginner, and so the first two thirds of it are just like, you know, anyway, just from what you've picked up.
Yeah.
But I've found the missing manual series, I think it's from O'Reilly, one on CSS3, and I was just flicking through it, and it was like, it already expected you to have a basic understanding of HTML and CSS, and I was like, well, this is good because that's what I have.
Yeah.
And so I've been working through that, and it's been really good, actually. So I've set myself the goal of learning CSS properly, and then that led me on to kind of thinking, well, you always need a project to work on, don't need to really cement the knowledge.
Yep.
And perhaps it's time to do a couple of side projects. And so that got me to thinking of, you know, what are the criteria for side projects I wanted to do. I was also doing the old James Altucher thing of trying to come up with 10 different ideas every day, because I thought I was getting into a bit of a rut of the same kind of thing every day of getting up and feeling grumpy about work and not making progress on stuff, or waiting for pandas to come along. So I made a list of criteria. When I was actually sitting down, the criteria for any new project that I wanted to do wasn't actually that long. The first one was it would take a week to actually not finish it, but be able to get something up and running and be, you know, functional, I guess, to do what the basics, what I wanted to do. The second thing was it would be something that was useful to me. So even if nobody else wanted to make use of it, you know, I'd be using it myself anyway, so it would be useful. And the third thing was not to need constant updates. And that was more from a content perspective. So I was thinking, you know, some of the ideas that you come up with around blogs and writing material for that blog and stuff like that. But that needs a content, a constant, sorry, push of content going out. And so if I was to write, like, one of the ideas I came up with was reviewing golf equipment, but that needs a review being written every week. And I'd actually tried it. I wrote a review on my GPS watch, and I wrote it, and after I wrote it, I was like, I don't really want to be doing this every week.
Mm.
So in theory, it's exciting to me, reviewing golf stuff, but the actual process of doing that writing, a week-on-week thing.
It'd also get quite expensive having to buy all this equipment.
Well, there you go. You can eBay afterwards, I guess. Yeah. But yeah. So there was only three criteria, really. Yeah. So a week to build and get something done.
That last one's a really good one, actually. The content, not requiring content and stuff. Because that is, whenever you start these sorts of projects, it just nags in the back of your head, doesn't it? And that's worse than anything, having something that you know you haven't done, that you need to do, or you don't need to do, but you want to do, and it just nags at you.
And the third one about not needing constant updates or content, I think most of the ideas I've actually done and executed on have all had that requirement so far. And so it's actually, that's probably kind of the biggest, I can't think of the right word now, the biggest bar or thing to cut down the list of ideas I have.
Yeah.
The biggest criteria, I guess. And also this tied in nicely with the CSS, learning CSS and properly and perhaps design properly, is because the people I've seen who do side projects before and post on Hacker News, and there's that one chap who does one side project a month or something, and they've taken off quite well. One of them was like the Nomad's List of Where to Live. I can't remember what the chap's name is now, anyway. But the people I've seen done this have all been really good at design, and so they're not bashing out things each month that look crap and just use the Bootstrap theme and so on. They're actually, the design is like really good, and it looks like they put thought into the design, and it looks nice. So hopefully by learning CSS properly and doing these side projects, I'll be able to create things that look quite nice rather than just, you know, using the boiler.
Sounds good.
The boiler, Bootstrap stuff, theme, boilerplate stuff. So we'll see how that goes. I'm working on the first one at the moment.
Sounds cool.
It's not the first one I'm working on isn't a complex idea.
Yeah.
Because I used to use Pingdom to ping the VoucherCodes Pro website just to check it was up.
Yeah.
So I'm just writing as a little simple thing that does that.
Oh, okay.
And then uses a Twilio API to
Send a text message
if the website's down.
Yeah.
Because I think the Pingdom one, anyway, perhaps I didn't have it set up right, but it used to ping our website. But if it pinged something and perhaps it gave a 500 error or 404 error, because, you know, we'd fucked something up when we uploaded a change or something, because it pinged back, it took that as being an okay response.
Oh, so it's up, but it's just not working.
But it wasn't working. So the one I'm doing is just checking the HTTP status to make sure that...
They get quite complex, some of them, don't they? You can actually look for words on pages and things like that and look for...
Yeah, so this is why, you know, the criteria of just doing 1 week to get something up is like just to check that, hey, you know, the 200 response comes back. That's week one. But then there are lots of other things that I can do, such as, you know, like you said, check for certain words to make sure that the things... And an important one I thought was checking, like, as you set the page up, it'll tell you what JavaScript files it loads. And you can say, yes, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. Because injecting JavaScript and stuff is like one of the common ways of getting hacked, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or if they get access to your system of inserting their own JavaScript. So if rogue JavaScript starts appearing in your pages, you're not expecting to alert people for that as well.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. So that becomes a bit more of a security tool as well.
Yes. But we'll see.
Sounds like a good one, So all this read about CSS, does it also teach you how to be a good designer? Because that's part of the problem as well, isn't it?
Well, I think the basics are just copy other people, aren't they? Find a site you like and rip that off.
Pretty much, actually, yeah. It's kind of how it goes.
The people I've spoken to are good at design. I'm like, how did you get good at design? They go, well, I just find a site that I like and start digging into how they've done certain things.
Yeah.
And then kind of learn it from there, really.
It's the same as coding. Stack Overflow is a great resource for many coders.
Yeah.
And, other articles, you know, you find somebody that's doing something similar to what you want and then work out how to make it do what you want it to do. And that's what a lot of people do, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, another barrier to doing side projects before, or another thing I've had to do, is the design stuff is either use Bootstrap or go and get someone else to help me.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of really been a bit of a barrier to getting that, you know, if I've got that weak criteria.
Yeah.
If I've got to go and use 99 Designs or something to run a competition to get a logo or a site design or something, that kind of extends that time a bit.
It's quite a big barrier, that, isn't it? Because, you know, there's not just the financial aspect, which isn't a lot of money, but it's not that important. But it's the time it takes to actually go through it all. Mm. And then you've got to rate people. And it does take, you know, it's a big sort of emotional commitment, if you like, to do that. But it's funny, the Bootstrap templates, I've used the Bootstrap templates for the sort of CRM-y bit of my app. And when I've been demoing it, people love it because unless you're quite techie and into the latest stuff, you probably haven't seen it that often. in terms of systems that you use. Yeah. You know, they might see the back end of WordPress, which is probably the closest they've seen, and that's not great. So I think even with Bootstrap, you can get quite far. So if you can take it a step further.
Well, that's the thing. So yeah, I use Bootstrap for lots of stuff, but it's when you want to kind of move away from a little bit of the way that Bootstrap does stuff, I'm just like, I haven't got a frigging clue where to start here.
Yeah.
Because you've seen some of the themes that people have done with Bootstrap, and they're like, although they use Bootstrap to start with, they've got their extra, you know, their own CSS custom file that takes things a bit further. And I guess that's the point where I want to get to.
Yeah, cool. I might be hiring you in the future.
We'll see. Maybe. So the other stuff I've been spending time on is a trading thing.
Yeah.
Which has been, it's fun actually, I'm really enjoying it. I haven't made a lot of money. So for the past, I guess, 2 weeks, the method I've been using is just using the breakout method, I'll call it. So just looking at companies that have broken out, so have a new high price over a 12-week period.
Yeah.
And then looking at their fundamentals to make sure they haven't got loads of debt or something like that, and the fundamentals stack up. And then if they have broken out, place a trade on them going up further. And so I added up all these. So I've only been putting £1 a point because it's spread betting again, which I don't see as betting. It's the same as investing. But so I've only been putting like £1 a point on each one and only doing like 2 or 3 trades a day because there's not many companies that fit the criteria that I want.
Yeah.
And so it's only been small amounts each day. But the one thing I've been struggling with is, so when you put the trade on, you've set a stop loss at 10%. So if it goes down 10%, it will automatically cut you out to stop you having massive losses and stuff. Yeah. And the theory is you're supposed to make lots of small losses, and then one or two big wins will, you know, that's where you make the money and the profit.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been making lots of small wins, but then a couple of the stop losses that have hit out at 10% have kind of wiped out all those small wins.
Right, yeah.
And I've not been very good at letting the wins kind of just keep running. I've kind of been, as soon as they start going into profit, I move the stop loss up so it's 1 or 2 points behind where it is.
Right.
So I either need to get better at letting the stop losses, at letting the wins keep running, or the initial stop loss, I guess, maybe I need to put it 5% rather than 10%.
So have you been using some sort of, is this just sort of you visually looking at these things, or is it the software that you've written that's doing some of it?
So it's more trading assistance, I think, like I said before, rather than algorithmic trading. So there's a website called ADFN that you can go to get these breakout lists.
Yeah.
So each day it'll publish a list of the companies that have broken out of a 12-week period. And I just kind of copy those into a text file, upload them into a web app I've built, simple web app. And that will then list, if I've analysed the company before, it'll say, or if it's a new company that needs the fundamental data put in, I'll put in. The fundamental data is a case of going through the annual and interim reports and stuff to make sure you get the right numbers.
Yeah.
So
it's a combination of
both
things. Yeah, that's quite cool.
But so the overall result is, though, I'm £19.60 up.
Hey, we should start getting you to put a graph together and we can publish it with the podcast.
Yeah. So in theory, I'm in profit, which is apparently better than 90% of people do. But
Well, you just don't put the numbers on, and then it looks great when you can see yourself in profit.
It's always a way. You keep thinking, because I'm putting £1 a point on at the moment, so I've made £19.60. Well, what if I was putting £10 a point on? That could be £190. But then,
well, if you can prove yourself, you've got a track record. So over a few months, if you can prove that you seem to be making a profit, then you can start ramping up a bit on the amount you spend as well.
Yeah, we'll see.
If you've got the balls. That's the trouble, isn't it? When you get to the actual real money, it's kind of a bit more scary.
Yeah, because going from zero to £19.60, that's not a huge, there's not much safety net, is there? So it could easily have been a £19.60 loss.
Yeah, yeah.
So then £190 could easily have been a £190 loss if I was doing £10 of points.
Yes, that's a bit worrying.
It's only 2 weeks of data, isn't it? So it's not a long enough period to say yes or no.
See where you are next time.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So what about all this trouble in Euro at the moment with the Greece and everything going on? So we're going on holiday to Greece. And looking at getting euros, obviously, because now they're saying take cash over with you, all euros. Been watching the exchange rate. Do you do anything? It's a nightmare because you kind of want to get it at the top, and it's just fluctuating quite high at the moment. So it doesn't really matter when you get the euros, I suppose, because it's quite a good rate against the pound. But you want to get it at the best point, you know. And so I've been watching it, and it's.
You should probably look at the moving average for that, I would guess. So it'll average out over the last 30 days. You can tell whether it's gaining momentum or losing momentum before it starts going down.
Okay, I'll have a look.
Consider looking at that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that bothered about it, but it's just been interesting because you've been talking about investing and stuff, and I've been watching this going up and down a bit over the past few couple of weeks because of what's happening in Greece. I thought it was quite interesting. If you have any insights.
You have a risk, though. I mean, because you're saying about taking cash. A friend I was speaking to yesterday just got back from holiday in Italy.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why, but they had 900 euros in their car, and their car got broken into and all the money stolen. So.
Well, the problem is that I know the banks are open again in Greece now, but what a lot of people are saying is that restaurants and places like that might not take cards because it's hard for them to get cash. Therefore, they want people to pay with cash so that they've got cash, you know. So that's the main concern, really, is whatever you're doing. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we'll do. I think we will take a chunk of cash, but not, you know, excessive. Spread it out between the two of us, and it might not be too bad. But
yep.
Take my little money belt or something.
Yeah. So I got something interesting to talk about around the quantified self. Which
right,
I know
okay.
is kind of something you've done as well around tracking exercise and runs.
Yeah,
and
fairly
those
loosely,
kind of thing.
But I do try to, yeah.
Yeah, so I was really big into it, I guess, in terms of using Runkeeper when I was doing my run streak.
Yeah.
The golf stats. So I was tracking each round and fairways, hit, putts, greens in regulation, those kind of things. And, interestingly, I kind of fell out of love with both of those things, didn't I? So I stopped the run streak.
Yeah.
I wasn't really enjoying playing golf very much, so I stopped tracking my stats on that. And oddly, since stopping the tracking, I've started enjoying both things a lot more. And so with the running, it just, I don't even wear my phone on my arm anymore, so I don't listen to music, just go for a run, so it's a bit of peace and quiet as well.
Yeah.
And I've only been doing it again, it's only a couple of weeks, but the running's been a lot more enjoyable, and it feels like I'm going out for a run for the fun of running rather than because it's being tracked and it's being an exercise chore and those kind of things.
Yeah, it's interesting. So for me, it's fairly informal in terms of I'm not that bothered, but I always think, well, the next time I run a 10K, I want to be faster than last time. The next time I run a half marathon, I want to be faster than last time. And I know kind of what level I need to be at in terms of times per kilometre. And so whenever I go for a run, I try to make sure that my average over the run is faster than the last official 10K or whatever I ran. And when I don't do it, because sometimes you're just knackered and you just can't be bothered and it's hard. And when I don't do it, it's really disappointing. I kind of get what you're saying there.
And since stopping tracking the golf as well, I've started playing a lot better at golf and enjoying it a lot more as well.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's just getting back to doing things for the fun of things rather than...
Well, you've talked about that
before. Stats tracking, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you're right. There is a lot of that involved. I mean, I still enjoy the running even though I am tracking it, so I'm not too worried about that for myself. But other things, I can imagine that affecting, yeah.
Because it's interesting, because when I was tracking the running, before I get out, I'm thinking like, right, I've got to do a 2 mile run or a 3 mile run or a 10 mile run, and I'd know the route I was going to do. Whereas this morning, I just set off. I didn't know the route. I was kind of like, well, I'll just see how I feel. If I want to go, if I feel like going further, I'll go further. If I don't, I didn't have any idea about the pace I was going to run.
Yeah.
If I was feeling good, I'd run a bit faster. If I wasn't, I could just plod along.
Excellent.
So maybe the quantified self for me anyway isn't such a good idea. And,
Or wait till you get back into it more and then see. Because you've had injuries as well, which is going to be frustrating if you can't do what you want to do because of that. So that's interesting. What about cycling? Because you were into cycling a while ago as well.
Well, I went on one bike ride and claimed that was the big thing that was going to change my life.
Brilliant.
I've not really done any bike cycling since, I don't think. No. Hey-ho.
Cool.
Right. Anything else you know?
Not really, no. I've got a couple of bits of stuff that I've seen. I mean, one of them is an article that I've seen a few people retweet it, so most people probably read it already, but in case you haven't, it's called Web Design, the First 100 Years, and it's kind of, it looks like the transcript of a talk that somebody did. Idlewords.com, I'll put the link in the show notes. It's just an interesting read. It's kind of about, I don't want to ruin it by telling you what it's all about, but it's kind of about how, you know, based on where technology is and where things are at the moment, you kind of predict what's going to happen in the future. And it rarely pans out to be as advanced as you kind of expect.
Yep.
So, it's a good article to read around that. And the other one was, ages ago, I was talking about referral spam.
Yeah.
And there's an article about a quick fix for referral spam in Google Analytics, which it's using filters. So what I had to do was put filters in for each of the domains that referred, you know, a dodgy referral link to my site. I put a filter in Google Analytics to exclude that domain, and the list is now about 30 long, you know, and there's still more coming through. Whereas this, I'll put a link to the article in the show notes, but it sort of talks about how to use things like screen resolution filters and stuff like that
right.
to filter out these spammy referral links. So mm-hmm. that's worth doing. So that's it.
Very good. The only thing I've got to mention around stuff is it was Sophie's birthday last week, and I bought her the Kindle Paperwhite.
Oh, right.
Which is really good, actually.
Yeah.
And one funny thing, she had a Kindle before because I gave her my old one. I think it wasn't first. It was the first one without the keyboard at the bottom.
Right.
I think. So it didn't have the backlight and everything, but she really liked it. So I bought her the new Kindle Paperwhite, which has got better screen resolution. It's got the backlight behind it.
Yeah.
But the thing that she really likes about it, as well as those things, is I bought her a case, which opens and closes. And she really likes it now because it's more like a book. So when she starts reading, right. she opens it up yeah. and, you know, it automatically turns on and stuff. And when she finishes, she closes it like a book and puts it down.
Oh, wow.
And it's strange that kind of model of opening a book and closing a book yeah. is like really... She really likes and...
That's funny, isn't it?
That was like yes. the biggest thing that she pointed out to me. Because I was like 2 days after I gave it to her, I was like, so do you like your new Kindle then?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, but the thing I like the most is opening and closing it like a book.
It's funny, they're psychological things, isn't it?
Yeah, just yeah. make you, but the stuff thing I was going to mention is the family libraries now that you can set up.
Right.
So previously, we used to buy books and... she reads more fiction, I read more business ones, so she didn't want to read my business books, but I wanted to read a couple of her fiction ones, and it was a case of swapping Kindles. But now with the family library, you can set up to actually share each other's libraries.
Oh, wow.
So now I can read any book she's purchased, and if she's desperate to read something that I've bought,
unlikely,
trading possible. Book or business book or something, then it's there yeah. for her to read.
So I wouldn't know they did that.
Yeah, 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 it's really good. You can set up, you can add four people, so it's if you've got kids, you can add a...
Excellent, I'll have to look into that.
That is good.
Especially yeah. for a holiday coming up, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's my stuff.
Excellent. All right.
All right, cheers, Nine. Bye. Bye.